As you saw in your bulletin, as we do this once a quarter, we've been doing this as our question and answer Sunday. And last week I had in the bulletin for you to come prepared. And Nick, you weren't here last week, so you didn't get that. So, but you can always think of a question. Okay, he has one. So on our question and answer Sundays, you know what we do? We just, whatever question you have, we answer, discuss it. I bring the microphone out to you. Ask your question, and anybody has a comment to share or discuss that, raise your hand so I can bring that to you. And the reason why we do that is so that Jay can get this recorded for when he goes, everything we put on the website, so that people can hear that. So if, Nick, you have a question to get us started, we will start with you. Hopefully I can answer your question.
It's actually a question so much as it is a fascination.
Ooh. Okay.
I'm struck by the whole concept of missionary.
Okay.
And as you mentioned, you met a couple from Spain that moved from Spain after 47 years.
Yes.
To Virginia. And I'm thinking to myself, what a wimp I am. Hmm. What boldness it must take to just pick up and move to Spain. And I'm also struck by the fact that the early missionaries actually shipped their stuff overseas in coffins. They didn't have baggage. They didn't have, you know, because they knew they were not coming back.
Right.
And I'm just struck by how the Holy Spirit can reach down and touch someone. We think of Nepal, for example, the putting a roof on a orphanage or something in Nepal, in India, in Japan. And I think we have it so easy, and it's so easy to forget how the Lord has blessed specific people, touching everyone worldwide. It's just, I just stand in amazement at that.
Okay. Thank you. I'd asked Brenda and Ron, guest on Friday, I said, do you consider Spain your home or the United States your home? And they said they're citizens of both countries. But the reason why I asked them that question is, so many of you know who Ken Sears is, and we've had him here to speak. And Ken Sears, who served in Ukraine all those years, and really that's where his heart is. And when the whole thing happened in Ukraine with the war, he had to leave and come back here for a while. Now he's over in Poland, across the border, hoping to move back in Ukraine. But he told us, Ukraine is his home, not the United States, and he's going to be buried in Ukraine. He does not want to be buried in the United States. That's where his heart is. So some people God calls that, They become such a love for the people that becomes their home. But any of us, though, when God calls us, and the Sunday schoolers were talking about Elijah and Elisha, and when God called Elisha, he left everything and served him. Remember, at 75 years of age, God spoke to a man named Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to leave your house and your family and everything you know and follow me to a land where you don't know where you're going. And trust that I'm taking you there. And you remember what Abraham did? He went. And because of Abraham's obedience, God founded on him a nation. So if God would speak to any one of us and say, I want you to do this or that or go here, our heart should be obedience and go, no matter what our age would be. But yeah, God calls us to be missionaries here. And he may not call us, Nick, over the seas, but he calls us to be a missionary right where we are. And we learned about that 2 weeks ago as we're going through Acts. And we learned about that missional mindset of living on mission for God wherever we are. So we're always to be living on mission for God. So thank you. Anyone, question, comment? Everyone's quiet this morning. Kim's question, what's the difference between soul and spirit? The Bible sometimes uses the phrase body, soul, and spirit. Sometimes the body uses the phrase soul and spirit together. Sometimes the body uses the phrase body, soul, and spirit separately. And without getting using too fancy theological words, and Doug knows the theological words, theologians and Bible scholars have debated over the years, is man made up of two parts or three parts? Are we body, soul, and spirit? Are we body and soul and spirit the same? And I kind of go with the view that we're three parts, body, soul, and spirit, because of the fact that God is triune. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is three in one. And he created us to be like himself in his image. And so the difference between soul and spirit, as I would define that then, is the spirit, the soul is the inner part of who you are. It's your personality. It's your thinking. It's your intellect. It's your emotions. It's your will. It's what the soul is actually what the psychologists use. It comes the word psyche. You've heard that word psyche. That's the soul. That's your inner part of who you are. Body is, of course, the outward part. And spirit is the internal part, the spiritual part that lives forever. The spirit is that, it says in Genesis, that God breathed into man in the garden and he became a living spirit. That spirit of God, that's the word rhema, or spirit being breathed into us. It's another word usually used for the Holy Spirit himself. So the spirit would be the eternal part of us that lives forever. The soul would be our personality, our will, intellect, emotions. Does that make sense? Then the body would be the physical outward part. So what lives forever is the spirit. Some people use soul and spirit interchangeably, but I see it as three. I don't know how you feel on that, Doug. Your trichotomy. The theological word is trichotomy or dichotomy, but I didn't want to use those. Anyone else? It's quiet this morning. Nick, you've got a question. Okay, another one? It's on.
Yeah. What is the biggest challenge you face?
Ooh. That's a personal one. That's not a theological question or a biblical question. Wow. What is the biggest challenge I face? Well, that requires some vulnerability here. All right. Probably the biggest challenge I face would be discouragement. What discouragement? Huh? Yeah. What discourages me? Kim says she knows.
It's hard when you have a mega church or a half of a large church right down the road. And you try everything you can to grow, like your children's ministry and your church ministry, and sometimes it feels like you're treading water. And I Dan and I have both felt that way through the years sometimes, like we're just treading water. What are we doing, you know? That I think that's one of the main ones.
Yeah, we've had people that have come and gotten all excited and been here, and then because we don't have enough kids or this or that, they've gone to the bigger places. You know, and that can be discouraging. But the faithfulness of just pressing on, one of the things that's really encouraged me is when I go every 2 years to a small church seminar, and one of the things they say is just continue to be faithful in sharing the word, continue to be faithful, and leave everything to God, because God has a place for every one of us. Doug has something to say.
I don't know about if you know this, but pastors are weird ducks. I don't know about you, but we become territorial in the fact that we fall in love with our people. And when they leave, they don't realize how difficult it is on us to see them as you pour time into their lives. So we become weird ducks. And a praise is not my golf game. I go golfing once in a while, but my golf game isn't my praise. But Friday I went golfing and got hooked up with a guy who moved from Wisconsin to Pennsylvania because his kids are in Pennsylvania doing work for the Lord here, and they moved here to retire. Anyway, he asked me the size of our congregation, and I told him roughly about 55, and he says, you know, it's not the size of the church, it's the heart of the church.
That's true.
And most people don't know this, but most pastors are human, and they have struggles. And I say that because I don't know how many churches Dan's been in. I've been blessed where I've only been in five churches. But each one of them tends to put the pastor on the pedestal and don't fall, because if you fall, then they become kind of negative towards you. So anyway, just wanted to share that.
Thanks, Doug. Yeah, and I've been blessed to be here 24 years now. We're getting ready to start 25. So yeah, one of the things they shared at a conference this year, and it was in the Thursday afternoon, Thelma said about staying awake. It was good, but it was really pretty heavy stuff for a Thursday afternoon right after lunch and dinner. But it was on, the whole thing was on being emotionally healthy, and they were talking about stuff like this. And one of the things that I've learned on it was that often, even as pastors, we're afraid to share our emotions, and we have to be strong and share our emotions. How we're really going through something, and we can't share that. And that's one of the things I learned, is that it's okay to get angry, and it's okay to be get upset on those things and work through that. So that's something that I kind of am learning, or one of the things maybe a challenge for me. So
can I say something else to that? A lot of people, when I meet them and they find out Dan's a pastor, they'll say, oh, how big is your church? That's like always the first question. How many people go to your church?
Yeah.
And I always say, well, we have a small church. I said, if everybody would be there on the very same Sunday, we might have 65 people. But this is my second response. We have very good people. Very good people that treat Dan and I wonderfully. And I said, we love our people. And that's my response every time. We have very good people in our church. Because believe me, Dan and I know we have been in certain situations where it hasn't been that. And we are just here. It's turning into a counseling session, kind of. But we are just so thankful to be here at Rikes, and thankful for each one of you.
Thanks. So that was a personal question. That was a tough one, but at least you have know how to maybe pray for us in a way you didn't know how to pray for us before. So, anyone else? Question on the scripture.
I just want to say, we all have our missionary things.
Yes.
Know who I am. They know I'm a Christian, and that there are certain things I don't tolerate. Mm-hmm. There are other things that, you know, they come to me and they ask kind of for guidance, and I'm always happy to do that. So my thoughts are, we all have our space. We all have God's will to do what he's intended for us to do, and he's placed us in those places.
Right. That's right. And living on mission there, wherever it is. And doing it for his glory, whatever that is. And God definitely has you where you are, because you're making a difference in the lives of those kids. Anybody else? Another question? A theological one? A biblical one? Something in the Bible you wanted to know? Any topic? Nick has one more. Does anybody else have another one before we go back to him? I guess not.
One of the things that I've discovered about Rice's church, that so many of us are not taking advantage of, is growing together.
Yeah.
We are a family. And it's almost like when I look around and I say, Well, I don't know you. You're my sister in Christ. You're my brother in Christ. But I don't know you. And growing together provides an avenue for doing just that. So a 30-second commercial at Doris Blaine's house on Wednesday night.
Come grow with us.
If you want to know your brothers and sisters in the Lord, that's the way to do it.
Thank you, Nick. Nick's been a big supporter of that. But yeah, I encourage you in your time with God, I mean, in growing together, but in your time with God, making sure you have that time in prayer and in His Word. And one of the things we've talked about in growing together last time we were together is how to have prayer time, how to read your scripture, how to grow and walk. And if you want to, those kind of things, and learn how to do that more. That's what we're talking about in growing together, and also just get to know each other better a bit. It's those practical things in our Christian living on really how to grow in our faith as a disciple of Jesus and what it means to be a disciple of Christ.
If somebody comes to you and ask you a biblical question because they know you're a Christian, and you know how you're supposed to answer as a Christian and use scripture. And I'm one, I mean, if somebody would say a verse, I could say it with you, but I could not go to the address of that verse, if you know what I mean. It's very difficult for me. I know Philippians 4:13, that's my life's verse. And I know John 3:16. But it's very hard, like if you're trying to witness to somebody and lead someone to the Lord, to know what to say, number one. And number two, you know, I know the Romans Road, but if you don't have your Bible with you at that time, what do you do? Just, besides pray real quick, God, give me the words, you know, but.
Well, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit that He at those times will give us, bring to mind what we need. But that, what Kim is saying, is a good motivation for why we need to memorize Scripture. And I've heard people
say, well, I have it memorized. Yeah. It's just I can't remember where to find it.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Then you do what I do these days. You go to your your phone on the app, and you pull up Blue Letter Bible, and you type your verse in, and what your word, and it will pull it up for you. If you can't remember, use this. That's what I do. there's so many handy things now that we didn't have before, so that's another option. As you can always pull it up, as long as you have your phone with you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What happens if you don't have your phone or whatever?
Then you rely on the Holy Spirit and trust that He'll give you the words that He wants you to say. And trust that He'll use what you say and plant the seed. Because sometimes all God calls us to do is to plant a seed when we're talking to somebody, and somebody else might come down and water it, and someone else might see the harvest come. Maybe we're just to share a little seed that God will use later. So, we have time for one more. Anybody on this side? Anybody over here? Aver's got one. Okay. Okay. It's a good question. She couldn't hear it. I'll repeat it. I think this got turned off. She said, some people have asked her about referring to Jesus. Sometimes he's called Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ, or what's the difference? Why is it referred that way? Christ is not Jesus' last name. Okay. Jesus is his Jewish name, his Hebrew name. It's the Greek, actually, of the Old Testament name, Joshua or Yeshua. and it's Yeshua in Hebrew. It's the Greek version of that, Joshua in the Old Testament. And that name Jesus means Savior. So Jesus means Savior. And when he was given that name, you will call him Jesus. Remember, the angel said to Mary, Joseph and Matthew, you will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin, he was told. Christ is the word Christos. Or in the Old Testament, it was the word Messiah or anointed one. So you put those two together, it means Jesus is our Savior, the anointed one of God who is the Messiah. And that's what those two names mean. Christ is anointed Messiah. Jesus is Savior. Some people say that. Yeah. Some people do say that Jesus the Christ. Some people will say that. Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one. The Hebrew way would be Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the anointed one. But yes, that's what those two names mean. Savior, anointed one, Messiah, Jesus, the Messiah.
Well, that brings up another question. Did they have like last names in like the Old Testament and in the New Testament?
They called each other John, the son of Zebedee.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
David Ben Gurion. You were known by who you were the son of. That was how they referred to each other. But so Jesus isn't called Jesus the son of Joseph.
No.
He's Jesus the Christ.
Right.
So does that clarify that? Doug, you had another?
If you ever encounter somebody that uses Jesus' name in the wrong way and saying Jesus Christ in the wrong way, I always tell them that's not his last name.
Yeah.
And then I would comment about kind of what Dan has said because it opens their eyes to realize, wait a second, because they don't even know what's going on. And I had another friend of mine when I was at Cyber Church as a youth pastor. His name was Ben. Just lost his name. Ed Kreider. And when he heard someone taking the Lord's name in vain, he pulled him aside and said, look, that name's special to me. He said, if you hurt your finger or your thumb, you stub your toe, and you want to yell something, yell Ed Kreider, because that name means nothing. But Jesus Christ means something. And if you think about it, the enemy, if he can get us taking Jesus' name in the wrong way, it makes it look like it's not even powerful at all because it's able to go through the mud of the muck and mire of our world. But yet it is so powerful for us to think about.
Yeah, that's great, Doug. Thank you. Because the scripture says that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. The name of Jesus is honored and higher than any other name. And Satan hates that name. And so if he can cheapen the value of the name of Jesus, because there's power in the name of Jesus. The power to say.
Anything God loves, Satan hates.
Yeah, that's true. Good. Well, thank you for your questions. And that was a personal one today. This one a little bit different than what we normally do. Usually the questions are more biblical or theological. But I know Nick always has something. So every now and then, once four times a year, we do this. But sometimes we've had questions on the events of the Lord's coming, current events, and what relating that to Scripture, and none of that today. Right? The Lord's speaking in a different way today, but that's fine. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your truth and your presence with us and for the guidance of your Holy Spirit in our life. And that, Lord, we can have these conversations with you and with one another and just share around your word. And we can always learn something from you. And Lord, we thank you that the name of Jesus is higher than any other name. That your name is to be honored, your name is to be cherished and valued. There is power in the name of Jesus, our Savior, to save. And you are the anointed one. You are the Messiah. You're the one, Lord, who has come to set the prisoners free. You're the one who has come to heal the captives, release the captives, and release us from blindness and the blindness of sin. And we thank you, Lord, for who you are. And for what you do and have done. We thank you, Lord, that you've created us body, soul, and spirit, and that we have an eternal part of us, a spirit being that lives forever. and that those of us that know you, we're going to live forever with you in your presence and in your kingdom someday. And what a hope that is. We thank you, Lord, that you're always beside us and you're always with us. And in those times of discouragement, Lord, you give us the church, you give us one another to encourage each other. And Lord, your word says to encourage one another daily, all the more, even as we see getting closer to that day of your return. And so, Father, part of our role as a church is to encourage one another and to come alongside each other and to pray for each other and to say, you can do it. We're sharing that load together and we're walking side by side in you. Lord, I thank you for our congregation, for our people who we love, and Lord, for our heart that we have together for you. Lord, we just pray that as we continue to serve you together, continue to grow together, and reach those around us with your light and your love of salvation, Lord, just by the power of your Spirit, work through us, because as Nick reminded us, we may not be called to be a missionary in another country, but yet you call us to be missionaries right where we are, and to let your light be seen in us. And so, Lord, this week as we go from here, Lord, may the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. May we be your hands and feet as we go into a world that so desperately needs to see what you look like and to know what your name really means for those that, as Doug said, try to pull it through the mud. So, Lord, we honor you. May you be seen in and through us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.